It's a season to be jolly.
Because of the blood. Amen. He shed his blood. Oh, so glad. So glad. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. Well, we come to you again in the name of Jesus. And we trust that what he has given us to say, that we know of, and what else he's going to give us to say, and what he's going to be telling you, what we're saying, what we have to say, all of that comes together and makes for a wonderful service for you. Praise the Lord. All right, let's look at our lesson on biblical prosperity today. Last couple of weeks, a week before last week we talked about whether or not God hardened Pharaoh's heart, which he didn't. Amen. We said that what transpired is likened to the sun, right? You put clay out in the sun, you put snow out in the sun, you're going to get two different effects. The clay is going to harden and the snow is going to disappear. Same sun. Okay? And so the reaction, what we get depends on the reaction of the substances. Pharaoh did not react properly to God's instruction, and God simply knew what was going to happen. He was not responsible for that at all. If he's going to do that, he would be a fundamentally unjust God. Amen. And so the week before that, we were talking to you about two things. Not the only two things, but two things important. We called it the two of the conditions for divine prosperity. There are other conditions, such as your love walk, such as patience, such as confessing God's word regarding this matter. But we told you one of them is giving. And we got that from Genesis 43:11, where Jacob tells his sons to take the best fruits in a time of famine and to take it to Egypt and so forth to give to their brother. They didn't know he was at the time, but Joseph. And we're told that this is a type of the tithe. And told you four important things, truths about the tithe. The first sin was over the tithe. The first murder was over the tithe. Jesus said to tithe. And so did Paul. And we'll give you some scriptures about that. And then we'll give a challenge to believers who are, you know, I just can't afford to take God's challenge to tithe for a year, whole year, and then compare books, see what happened. God said that he would never be made out to be a liar. And so that's an approach. The Bible says to prove all things and to hold on to that which is good. So we talked about that. Okay. So let's talk about the second thing here now. In terms of two conditions of divine prosperity. From the same passage, giving, we just talked about that. The other one is integrity. Integrity. You're not going to prosper much by God. You know, there are plenty of ways, other ways to prosper, right? They might fail, you know, they get a bunch of money. We don't call that prosperity, but people do, right? Bible says there's a way to prosper in the world. But we're talking about prospering in God. And you can't do much of that without integrity. So Genesis 43, let's read verse 11 again. And their father Israel said unto them, if it must be so, if you have to go back to Egypt with Benjamin, which he didn't want them to do, because Joseph required them to do, do this. Take of the best fruits in the land, in your vessels, and carry down the man a present. A little balm, honey, spices, myrrh, nuts, almonds, okay, which looks are precious in time of famine. These were actual delicacies in the old world, frankly, okay. And then verse 12 says, and take double money. Mm-hmm. Take double money. Remember now, we're talking about a time of famine. Take double money in your hand and the money that was brought again in the mouth of your sacks. Carry it again in your hand. Perhaps, peradventure, perhaps it was an oversight. What had happened was when they went to Egypt and Joseph recognized them, they did not recognize him. And so he went through all of that, and finally he told his servants to fill up their sacks, fill it up. And then he told them to return the money they had paid for the provision, put it back in their sacks. Give them a refund. They didn't know it, of course, until they got home. They got home, they relayed what had happened to their father, and as each person opened their sacks, they found the money that they had paid. They're like, our money's still here. So now some time has passed. They have had time to eat the provisions they brought. Don't know how long it took, months, a year or two. This famine lasted 7 years, right? But it's time to go back and get some more money, some more stuff. So now he says, take not only the money you have to buy the new provisions, take the money that you had before that was returned, just in case it was a mistake. Now that's integrity. That's integrity. Time had passed. If it was a mistake, Joseph might have forgotten. After all, he's a wealthy, super wealthy person. But on their end, the father says, take it with you. That's integrity. And integrity is a fundamental requirement if we're going to prosper in God. We can't conduct our financial affairs like everybody else does. You know, and hope to enjoy God's blessing. Amen. You know, I was thinking the other day, I don't know why, but well, that's because I have my sights set high. I thought, what if one of these billionaires gave you $1 billion and said, with one condition, you can't tithe on it. What would you do? I'd say no thanks. That's a question for you. What would you do? Even for you tithing, what would you do? If Elon Musk gave you $1 billion and said, I'll give you this money on condition that you don't tithe. See, at a moment like that, you know where your trust is, right? You really know. I wouldn't take it. I'll tell you thanks, but no thanks. Yeah, but look what all you can do with $100 million. First of all, if you took it on those conditions, you know what would happen? You know what would happen. Hallelujah. Why wouldn't you? Because my source, I look to him for more than just money. Mm-hmm. There are things money Amen. Cannot buy.
Amen.
And I want those things too. Mm-hmm. My grandkids love me. I want them to keep loving me. Amen. Money can't buy that. I mean, there's so many things money can't buy. And I thought to myself, yeah, that's good, boy. That's good. because when we talk about the tithe, we're not talking just about money. We talk about the totality of God's protection. I happen to know a billionaire, well, if I call the name, you know too, who died not too long ago because he came down with some kind of disease that the doctors and all of his money couldn't help him. Hallelujah. Integrity about the things of God, knowing that he has got you in the palm of his hands. Come what may. Amen. Whatever challenge, financial or non-financial, he's got you in the palm of his hands. Glory to God. And so we can talk about integrity. Here's the definition of integrity. Integrity is who you are when no one is watching. Mm. When no one will ever know. Mm-hmm. Hmm? That's who you really are. Who you are when no one is watching, where no one will ever know. Integrity is doing the right thing, whatever the cost. Oh my. Doing the right thing, whatever the cost. Because it is the right thing. Not necessarily because of what you're going to get from doing the right thing, but because it is the right thing to do. Amen. Whatever happens, let the chips fall where they may. That's integrity. And so it's an important part of prospering in God. Because, of course, he is of the utmost integrity. Amen. Just as I said that. So he creates Adam and Eve. They mess up. After he gave them authority over the earth. Huh? The devil came along and stole it. He could have said, no, I nullify that. Right? I mean, yeah, the power could say, no, I nullify that. Knocked the devil in the head and said no. But guess what? He played along. He said, well, I gave it to them and they gave it to, I want to say, gave it to it. And so he's got it. The devil's got it. I got to come back. I got to come. He's talking about integrity. I have to get that back in the right way. I have to do what's right to get it back. And that involved, my goodness, I didn't plan to go this way. The integrity of God. That involved him being willing to separate from the world. For God to become man. And to live among us. For 33 and a half years and all that. To suffer, be lied on, be crucified, go to hell to get back that authority legally. Yeah. That's integrity.
Thank you.
This message just grew up on me. That is integrity when you think about it. He got it back the right way. Because he gave Adam and Eve authority. They turned around and gave it to the devil. The devil was the rightful possessor of it. You couldn't steal it away from him, take it away from him because you're bigger. God's bigger, more powerful. He couldn't do that. He couldn't say, well, look, I'm more powerful. I'm just going to take it away from him. Couldn't do that. Had to get it back legally. Had to wait until he could have a covenant with a man called Abraham. And through him worked his way all this millennia until he could get to the point where the word would become flesh and dwell among us and grow up, go to hell, and get it back. Mm-hmm. Rightful way. That's integrity. Mm-hmm. My goodness.
Amen.
And that's our example. Do the right thing in the right way because it is the right thing for no other reason than it is the right thing. And of course, doing the right thing means you're flowing in God's lane. Amen? And plenty of godliness, godly things and his blessing and all that is coming your way. Whatever it looks like. Can't help that. All right. So in specifics, talk about integrity. I tell you, I want to go back to that Adam and Eve situation. It's just, my. That's integrity. He didn't have to go through all that. I mean, think about it. You're God of heaven and earth. Could have said, okay, well, Adam and Eve messed up. Let's just clean another pair. Put them in the spiritual garbage can and just do it over. No. He had to go through all that to redeem them. To literally get them back. buy them back from the devil. That's why it's called a redemption. We were in the devil's pawn shop. Integrity. Okay, so in specifics, talk about financial integrity. We can talk about taxes, right? Not cheating on your taxes. We talk about when you rent a car and it says you should put 91 octane. Don't go in there and put 89 octane to save a few bucks. Go in the grocery store and you change your mind on the grocery store. Put it back where it was. That's integrity. That's doing the right thing. A whole bunch of folks who don't do that complain about how the prices go up, not realizing that their activity, their action, you know, leads the grocery store to have to hire more people to go get all those carts. Got to pay those people, so we got to transfer it to you. They don't think about that at all. But that's how it works. That's how it works. They're not going to bear the burden of you not doing the right thing. All right, so here's some principles of biblical integrity. Principles of biblical integrity. Biblical integrity requires that the goal of financial dealings must be a win-win agenda. When you go into some financial dealing with someone, it's not all about what you can get out of it at their expense. If you're lucky. By the way, that word shouldn't be your vocabulary. Too close associated with Lucifer. Mm-hmm. We're lucky, with devil. Chance. The goal should be a win-win. That's who God is. God is a win-win God. Thank you, Lord. Let's see here. Did I do something? Okay. Therefore, high pressure selling violates biblical financial integrity, doesn't it? But so does extreme haggling. You know, if you can bargain for the price of the item, when you just go at it again and again and you try to wear down the seller, that's ungodly. Because you're not thinking about them at all. Right? You think about yourself. That's a selfish act. Well, you think if you just keep bargaining and say, how about this discount? And then you say you got a good, that's not a good deal. That's a devil deal. Yeah. So extreme pressure to buy, high pressure selling violates biblical financial integrity, but so does just going on and on and on about, getting a discount. That's poverty talking. I don't take preachers' discount. Because my employer has enough to fund his activities. That's a disgrace to the gospel. Take a preacher's discount. That's like the old saying, as poor as a church rat. Where they bring all the rummage to the church. Stuff they can't use. Old, worn-out stuff. Let's take it to the church. Not this one. Hallelujah. That's not integrity. That doesn't bring honor to God. And then we'll talk about how he lives on the streets of gold. Okay, I better mind my teaching here. So any tactics designed to wear down the buyer until they accept the seller's terms are ungodly. You ever bought a car lately? Oh, man. They keep those pieces of paper back and forth. Hey, here's the deal. And then they go back. Here's the deal. Hey. All they're trying to do is wear you down. That's ungodly. So you can just say yes and sign the paper and go on, go out. I would say the last vehicle we bought, I said, well, I don't mean like the last one we're going to buy, because I plan to buy a few more. I got pictures on my wall right now of some upgrades. Hallelujah. I hope you do. Folks, there's so much more God wants us to enjoy, and we're not expecting to enjoy them. That's a problem to God. It's like the guy who said, you know, all this prosperity teaching, you know, I'm a simple man. I don't need much. I just, you know, you know, as long as I have a decent, you know, shelter and so on, I'm fine. I don't need much. See, he thinks he's being humble and reasonable. That's the most selfish thing you could ever say. When you say that, you know what you're saying? You say you don't care about anybody else but you. That's what you're saying. As long as you got your little made up so everybody else can go to hell in a handbasket. Yeah, you don't care about anybody else. Selfish. But it comes across as reasonable and you know, and measured and all. That's nothing but the spirit of poverty and lack and the curse talking to you. Nobody said if you get $1 million, you got to keep it.
Amen.
Huh? You can take your $10,000 out of that and give the rest to charity. Let them help the poor. What's wrong with that? That's actually what God wants you to do. Believe for $1 million, keep your $10,000, give the rest away to help the poor. Nothing wrong with that. Okay. So, any tactics to, yeah, so the last time when I did to buy a vehicle, you know, we agreed on terms. I went home, called them back just to make sure, and they changed it on me. So I said, forget it. Oops. The whole deal is off. No, it's off. No, not going there. I'm going to another dealership. And I did. And this guy had all sorts of certificates on his wall, you know, when I was at the dealership. You know, salesman of this, salesman that. It turns out, I thought, oh, so that's how he gets all those sales. That's ungodly. To try to whip someone down, the buyer, so they can accept your terms. Those of us who are believers should walk away from that, because the spirit of poverty is above all men. It is. All right. A good deal is one that is knowingly and willingly entered into by both parties. That's a good deal. A good deal is not something that benefits one but not the other. See, most people think a good deal means, hey, I've got something off for them. That's not a good deal. That's a devil deal. God is a win-win God. You go with God, everybody wins. Hallelujah. Good deal is one that is knowingly and willingly entered into by both parties. Not just sweet talking someone to something. A good deal should not include depriving the seller of a reasonable profit at market rate. Most people think a good deal is getting the person to sell it less than the item is worth. That is not a good deal. Not if they didn't do it willingly. Not if they didn't do it willingly. We'll talk about principles of biblical financial integrity. It is not a godly deal unless it is a win-win. Amen. Here's something else God told me. It is a violation of biblical integrity to take advantage of the buyer's or the seller's lack of knowledge. Some people sell things because they've got to. The things are really rough, and so they're trying to sell what they've got. That is now for you time for you to come in and take advantage of that. If you're dealing at antiques and something, someone comes up with an item wants to sell to you that is worth $1,000, and they say, and you tell them, I'll give you $200. See, that's ungodly. That's ungodly. How many people would do that and say, hey, I got a good deal? No, you didn't. You got a devil deal. You're not going to prosper in God that way. Should you make a profit? Of course. You should make a profit. A decent profit, marketable profit, nothing wrong with that. But you can't take advantage of people just because you know more than they do by the situation. That's not integrity. The buyer's goal should be getting the item that they want, not necessarily at the cheapest price possible. Or else you're making room for greed to get in there. And remember now, greed is not wanting more. Greed is getting something or keeping something that belongs to somebody else. That's biblical greed. And if your goal is to try to get one over on the seller or the buyer, that's not biblical integrity. Proverbs 1:19, the Bible says, the person who is greedy of gain will take it away the life of the owner. So if you're greedy to gain, it'll take away your life. That's Proverbs 1:19. I'm giving you that for the sake of time. So that's the buyer's goal. So buyer's goal, getting the item you want. That should be your satisfaction. I got what I wanted. Okay? The price part of that, you should trust God for it. Amen. I told you, if it's godly, if it's moral, ethical, and you want it, whatever the price, God wants you to have it. And you don't have to cheat the buyer, the seller, out of their reasonable profit to get it. So as the buyer, your goal and your satisfaction is, I received, I got the thing I wanted. long time ago, if you're not the seller, you don't get to determine what the price is. But see, we want to do that. Well, I want to be the buyer, but I also want to determine what the price is. No, you don't get to do that. The seller gets to determine what the price is. And if you want it, then you have to come up with a price. I'm not saying you can't negotiate, but not in bad faith, trying to get one over on someone. All right. The seller's goal should be getting a reasonable market profit, market rate, that is profit, not usury. But we talk about usury. Too much profit. Profit that is exploitative. In Proverbs 28, verse 8, talks about that. Usury. Proverbs 28, verse 8. I mean, if we approach this right, and I've said this before, some of these things we are saying many, many, many times. If we approach this right, God will tell you, in some cases, to pay the seller more than they're asking you to pay. And he might tell you to discount the price of this item to be a blessing to the buyer. If you're the seller. If you do this right, he'll tell you at times to instruct you because he wants you to be a blessing. Remember, win-win. He wants you to be a blessing to the buyer if you're the seller, or to the seller if you're the buyer. Amen. Just because the item is $10, you may have to pay $10. God may tell you, give them $15. Let the $5 be extra. Wouldn't they be shocked? I mean, you could tell that the Lord told me to do that. What a blessing that is. Amen. The last real estate, deal we had, that's not going to be the last. Glory to God. Expectation, guys. God told us, give the buyer what they're asking for. It shocked the real estate agent. But I'm obligated to do what God said, to the best of my ability. And so we did. We did. And I'm expecting, I mean, one of these, okay. Glory to God. I can just say I'm expecting, glory to God. Because I did what God said. I mean, we could have negotiated and all that and cut it down and this and that and the other. But it said, just say yes. And I thought, okay. Mm-hmm. And the agent said, you don't want me to make a counter offer? And all that. I said, no, just say yes. Let's get it done. That's what God said, though. I mean, you know, I'm not saying you should do that every time, right? But when God said it, you do that. Hallelujah. The favor of God will give you a good deal. Amen. By cheating the seller or the buyer to get it because you got one over on them, that's not the favor of God. That's not a good deal. That's a part of prosperity. And here's something that I end with this. If you charge someone more than others for the same price, just because you think they can afford it, that's stealing. That's robbery. And you'll be surprised how many people think that's just perfectly fine. How are they going to afford it? Yeah, but this thing, you know, you cut yours, and this size yard, you only charge $150. Yeah, but you go to this neighborhood and, yeah, well, oh, look at all these houses. They can afford it. And so you charge them $300. That's a thief. Amen. That's a thief. And folks do that and think, well, what's wrong with it? They can afford it. And then wonder why, you know, money comes in one way and goes out the other. You don't even know what happened. Paycheck is gone before you even had time to even feel in your hands. Because you've been stealing folks. Don't do that, believer. If you want to walk in God's prosperity and integrity, that is not right. There's no integrity in that. It is a spirit of poverty, and that's where it's going to take you, towards poverty. Amen. Amen. All right. So, principles of biblical integrity, two important factors to prosper in God, not only two, but giving and integrity. And these are some principles of integrity that we have to incorporate into our financial lives so that we can receive at the level that we're supposed to receive at. Amen. All right. We'll receive our